Hi, welcome to my 14th, no, no, 15th entry. So this is a weekend entry. It's a Sunday right now. Again, beautiful day outside, feeling much better than I have from before. I have so much schoolwork this coming week though. Like I have so many projects to do, things that take time, like very time consuming things, that take a lot of planning or interviewing, like scheduling interviews, editing stuff, things like that, which it's good. I'm excited to do them. It's fun, but also stressful. But also, I have like 3 weeks left, so I'm just going to power through as best I can. And update with the Olympics. I feel like I'm just half watching them, or not even watching them, half paying attention to them. But yeah, Canada won, I believe, 2 medals. I think one was silver Olympic team for the women team. The other one, I don't even know. But it's exciting. But yeah, today I want to talk about something I feel like every inch that I've been doing more recently, like the last maybe week or so, have kind of been connected in some ways. It's like each day a new topic comes up in my head, but it's somewhat connected to the one before, or could be like all, I don't know, intertwined in some ways. Anyway, so my topic for today is power. And I want to share the story of Olympias, who's the mother of Alexander the Great. So this was a very long time ago. I'm not going to lie, this is not normally the kind of history that I like. Like, this is, you know, 375 BC she was born. So this is thousands and thousands of years ago. And it's not normally my favorite genre or era, but I did hear a podcast from the History Chicks about her, an episode, and it was just really interesting, like, to hear about the kind of person that she was, how she used her skills to get to where she became the mother who was she was basically like the, you know, one of the queens in this time, and having obviously Alexander the Great made her even more popular. So the reason I want to talk about power, I first want to talk about COVID, because like it really does connect to now. Like, I think in history, human beings, human nature will always crave power. And like, power to many people is defined differently. Like, it could be power, like, you know, you're very smart and intellectual, and you have power over, you know, your mind and the way that you're learning. And so if someone comes in, has an issue or talks to you or whatever, you're able to hold yourself together and strong and have that power of intelligence. There's also power, like physical power. You could be working out every day and feel strengthened that way. There's power, and that connects to, like, you know, fighting in history and military and war and all kinds of things. And then there's also power with money. People feel powerful when they have a lot of money. And I think that's the money one is probably like a very universal thing with every culture and almost every generation, where when you think of power, you think of money. Also, there's status, which is a huge one. It's also in history, you know, kings, queens, lords, duke, emperor, whatever. And people, like, and I think for me, power connects to control a lot. So it's like, you know, if you have a lot of money, you can control, you know, more stuff in your life, or other people even, you can say, oh, I'll just pay them and they'll do it for me. Or if you're in a status position, like you're the king, obviously you have control over everybody pretty much. And also the whole, like the resources and all these things, like control over the agriculture, control over the taxes, control over the manufacturing, the sales, the trade, all these things. So yeah, power is very just, it's a broad thing. You could also have power in relationship dynamics, if you're more less emotional, let's say, or something like that. But yeah, so it can be very varied in the way that people perceive power, the way people use power, the way people crave power. But that said, I think there's a universal need and desire, not even need, I would say desire, for power throughout history. And with that comes a thirst, a like bloodthirst, or I don't even know how to say that, but like, people will go to great lengths in order to achieve power, whatever that looks like. So if they want to be the best war king or whatever, they will definitely, they don't mind killing people, stealing from people, abusing people. Same with kings and queens, all the Tudor history and all these things. It's very like, chop your head off or assassinate this guy or, you know, whatever, lock him up in jail. It's like, there's a lot of things a lot of manipulation tactics, a lot of abuse, a lot of bloodshed, basically. Now it's a little less of that, I'd say, in the modern world. Like, we don't, see the bloodiness as much. But that said, though, there's a lot of abuse in a lot of other ways. Like, we have with COVID, you could see it a lot. Like, every country is trying to get the vaccines the quickest possible and get vaccination as quick as possible because they want to be powerful. They want to have, not only do they want to have their country be back running, like with the economy and everything, but they also want to look powerful among other people. And that's power too, right? Like, to have the status and reputation, even just by because is what people crave. And it's a form of power within the countries. Politicians are trying to navigate COVID in the way that they think is best, obviously, hopefully for the care of the people, but also because of, they want to be reelected again because they want power. So, you know, on social media, like, companies are posting all these things, you know, to be as helpful as possible or informative as possible or woke as possible. And obviously, hopefully there's good intentions behind all of these things, but a lot of it has to do with marketing. Marketing has to do with money, and money has to do with power. And obviously that's connected to capitalism as well in the society that we live in, how we all have to basically sell our own labor in order to sell ourselves as labor in order to live and have money. But also with that comes the push for certain status in the workplace as well. You know what I mean? It's like, we want power in the workplace too. I just want to have a promotion or more money or whatever. It's just, you know, or even on social media, I want more likes because I, or more followers, because that's kind of more powerful than the other person next to me who has less. Like, people crave different kinds of power. It's still very apparent today. And I see it a lot with COVID especially. And I think it's coming out of the woodwork more. But what's happening now too is people are also condemning those in power. Like Jeff Bezos now, who has gone to the moon or whatever, or not to the moon, but he's, you know, gone to space. People are condemning that and saying, like, he's abusing his power and money he took all this money from all these factory workers or people that are working for him that make way less, who need it more, and he's kind of spending that on whatever. So again, there's a lot of controversy, a lot of different emotions and feelings and perspectives on what is actually power, what it, you know, people would do to get there. And with Olympias, she lived in a world where power was pretty much everything. Well, power / survival, especially for women, was everything. And she was in a world where people would do and probably and could do pretty much anything for power. Literal murder, literal abuse and torture, just all kinds of things. So she was in ancient Greece. And like I said, 375 BC, she was born, 300 to 316 BC, she died, apparently. And it always confuses me how it goes backwards like that. But she was the eldest daughter of a king called Neoptolemus I of Epirus. And she was the fourth wife of Philip II. So he was the king of Macedonia. Macedonia was a very big, important place at the time, very big kingdom. And so with him, she had a son. So I'm going to like skip over. There's a million details, obviously, and a lot of, like I said, like there's a lot of power struggles, a lot of dynamics and all kinds of things. She ended up marrying Alexander the Great. She ended up marrying Philip and had Alexander the Great with him. So apparently she had this, like, the day she married Philip, the night she went to bed that night, she had some kind of like dream or whatever, where she felt her uterus being struck by some thunderbolt, like lightning sort of thing. And she told this story basically saying how, like, Zeus, like the biggest, most important god at the time, probably still to now when we think about it, kind of like gave his blessing, or was like the, basically like her son would be like the heir of Zeus in some way. And she wasn't wrong in a sense. I mean, not the Zeus thing necessarily, but like Alexander is known as Alexander the Great. He was a very important figure in history and very powerful. There was other wives that this king had, Philip, and another wife had a son around the same time and was born actually a bit earlier than hers. So those were the two potential heirs to the throne at the time. And the first heir, the older one that wasn't Alexander, apparently, as he grew older, had some sort of mental disability. And obviously, because in history, things get blurred over the years, there's not as much records, all these things, especially when it's ancient history like this. We don't know, like, what the mental disability was at all. Like, we have no idea. It could even be just that, like, he had trauma to the head when he was a kid. Like, he fell and hit his head maybe one day playing or something, and he had some issues after that. Like, we don't know, because this is just all we know, basically. So people think that Olympias, some people think that she was, like, evil and, like, gave him some sort of drug thing to make that happen to him so her son could be in the throne. She was known for being part of the cult of Dionysus. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, which is, like, snake worshiping and very suggestive things with the snakes, you know. Like, she has this reputation now, especially, as this, like, dark, evil, like seductress that's, like, I don't even know, like, just not a very good impression of her in a lot of ways. But whether that's wrong or right, what is very clear is that she did anything and everything. She tried her best to maintain her power within, and to survive within that kingdom, but also for her son. She did everything she could for that, so that her son could become the heir. She could be okay and survive and also have a good position, but also that he would have some sort of power among all of the kids of Philip, who had a bunch of wives, you know, like, and so some people say, like, her saying the Zeus thing was, you know, spiritual connection that she had to Zeus or whatever. Some people say it's a tactic, like her being like, hey, you know what, actually, yeah, your son is, like, a few months older or whatever, but my son has the strike of Zeus, so he should be the king, you know. It's kind of like, it could have been a tactic. So the reason why I'm talking about this, and, you know, there's a lot of details, there's a lot of battles, there's a lot of back and forth with the king and Alexander the Great, their relationship, and then obviously Alexander the Great eventually takes over as well, and he is the king of ancient Greece, or a kingdom of Macedon, which is, like, Macedonia, obviously. And he apparently, like, I think he, like, conquered, like, a ton of places. Like, he was a very known for his military capabilities, and he went through Asia, northeastern Africa, and it says here, by the age of 30, he had created one of the largest empires in history stretching from Greece to northwestern India. He's undefeated in battle, and he's considered one of the most successful military commanders. So he really, really did have a lot of power, strength. He had power in the classic sense of, like, he had control and he had authority, but also he had power, like, physically. Obviously, he was persuasive in some ways, or had some kind of commanding presence, some sort of, people respected him. Respect, another way of power. There you go. Some people just want respect, and that's power. So anyways, the reason why I wanted to talk on go on and on about all this stuff is just kind of like, just analyzing how, like, people in history will go to great lengths, even hurting others, even doing sketchy things, even risking their own lives in order for power on earth in some way, shape, or form, and recognition. And when I think about that stuff, I'm not the kind of person that strives for that. I'd rather have love in my life and positivity and connection to those around me and the work that I'm doing and the things that I'm doing, rather than have a form of power. And that's my own, like, way of thinking. So I have, like, a weird, I kind of can't relate to people who would go to great lengths, even nowadays, like, in workplaces. Some people will put others down or will do things that I wouldn't do in order to achieve a certain salary or a certain position. And I just don't understand that myself. But it's just interesting how, like, human history, that has never stopped. Like, that desire that people have and what people will do to get it has never stopped. Like, and I'm just wondering, because my perspective is kind of like, life is temporary, and COVID has made that a little bit more obvious. You know, it just made you realize, like, how temporary life can be. And it's like, why go through all of that for a power that is temporary, where you're hurting other people? you know? And maybe I'm just saying this and I had never experienced that kind of power. So maybe if I did experience that kind of power, maybe that side of me would come out. I have no idea. I'm not trying to judge anybody necessarily. Well, I'm like kind of judging because I don't think that those things are good to do to people, obviously. But yeah, I'm just kind of intrigued by that desire that people have and how it's never ended. It's never ended ever. That's pretty much all I want to say. Like, just learning about her story was really interesting because, like I said, I don't like that. Not I don't like, but I just normally don't dive in deep to that side of history, like the ancient Greek and ancient Roman history and things like that. It's not my type. But I'm trying to be more open. And when I learned about it more, I was like, not only is it interesting because of the stories, and it's just obviously crazy, a lot of intense drama that happens. And the way that I'm analyzing that world, I'm like, wow, that world is very different to ours, but very much the same at the same time, which is really crazy. But it's also interesting to see how people portray her. Like, she was a powerful woman, no doubt. I'm sure there was a very dark side to her. She wasn't less necessarily a good guy, or a good girl or a good woman in the scale of things, but she also was portrayed especially bad by others around her. And I'm wondering if that's, you know, her enemies trying to get power as well. And just like how like the manipulation of stories and history and people can also be part of this whole game that clearly everybody, a lot of people in history want to play. A lot to take in, a lot to process, but definitely interesting.